The Senate Armed Services Committee has approved the nomination of Eric Fanning to be the next Army Secretary. During yesterday's hearing, Fanning showed off his procurement prowess and laid out a number of acquisition concerns and reforms he has for the Army. Fanning says he's a fan of Congress's reforms in last year's Authorization Act. Federal News Radio Scott Massioni has more on Fanning's testimony.
Eric Fanning says the Army needs to move faster. While testifying at his confirmation hearing to be Army Secretary before the Senate Armed Services Committee, Fanning told lawmakers one of his main priorities would be quickening the acquisition time of capabilities in key areas. It's either that or have adversaries pass the United States in military technology. Fanning laid out the reasons the Army needs to put the pedal to the metal during the confirmation hearing.
The Army has some capabilities where we're seeing, based on what's going on in the ground now in Ukraine and Syria and so forth, that our overmatch is not as great as it should be, as it needs to be, particularly if we don't change course. And I think specifically about position navigation and timing, electronic warfare and cyber, and then survivability of our platforms, particularly aviation. And I see these as three great problem sets.
One way to solve that problem, Fanning says, is to set up a rapid capability office. Fanning already has experience with setting up this type of office when he worked for the Air Force. Its mission is to use defense-wide technology development efforts and capabilities to quickly create much-needed combat support and weapon systems. Fanning says the rapid capability office is much needed for the Army. And Fanning has a lot of acquisition experience. He worked for all three branches of the military, which is why lawmakers are listening closely to what he has to say about acquisition reform. He told lawmakers their provision to give military service chiefs and secretaries milestone decision authority over programs in the 2016 Defense Authorization Act was a much-needed move.
One of the reasons I prefer working in the military department is I feel those who do are much closer to the troops. And I think that's very important in terms of setting and monitoring requirements. What I would say about these new reforms, and I do think putting more responsibility in the military department is the right direction to move, is it is easy for people to conflate the acquisition process and the requirements process. They're fundamentally linked, they overlap, but where I think there's the most potential is that requirements process, getting the requirements right to start, and then at various points in the acquisition process, being able to make those trade-offs. We learn more as we do, particularly if the technology isn't mature, and a good program officer, a program manager should have the opportunity to come back to the chief of staff, the service secretary, and say, I can get this to you a year faster if you can cut 5% the requirement that you thought you set. I can meet that requirement in a different way. I can save money if we don't chase this. Also that they're smart decisions rather than reactions to when all the green vectors have turned red.
Fanning still hasn't weighed in on what he thinks of the new reforms that may be added into the 2017 Defense Authorization Act. House Armed Services Committee Chairman Mac Thornberry said at the National Press Club he wanted to add more experimentation and prototyping into the acquisition process in the new defense bill. Here's Thornberry's comments.
One goal I have this year is to encourage more experimentation and prototyping. If you study the great military innovations of the past, the clear conclusion is that experimentation was at the heart of every success. It encourages innovative thinking, not just in developing the technology, but in how you use it. It helps ensure that there is mature technology before you start production, so that you don't have those unexpected surprises. It reduces the odds that you're going to spend a lot of money on a program of record that you then have to cancel and have it all wasted. And if you couple that with open architectures, it helps you upgrade your systems as you go along at a lower cost. One of our nation's leading industrial design firms has as its motto, "Fail often in order to succeed sooner." Because they believe that enlightened trial and error is the key to success. I think that's right, and I think history bears that out when it comes to military innovation. Today, it's hard to get money for experimentation without being attached to a program of record. And programs of record seem to be sacrosanct because once they get started, they hardly ever get stopped. I want to look for ways to foster experimentation and prototyping both in developing the technology and in their application, and ensure that only mature technology goes into production.
It's still early in the process for the bill, and the reform language is expected to be out by early spring. While acquisition is one of Fanning's priorities, he still says his top priority is the readiness of the Army. That's something that's been worrying him recently. Fanning says only about a third of the Army's brigade combat teams are ready for a large event. A large event would be something like a land battle against Russia or North Korea. That doesn't bode well considering the Quadrennial Defense Review mandated that the Army move from 490,000 active troops to 450,000 active troops by 2018. Fanning says when that decision was made, 450,000 active troops were sufficient for the task. Since then, though, new threats have popped up, putting more strain on the Army. Fanning says the Islamic State and an increasingly aggressive Russia make him concerned over the size and readiness of the Army. Fanning says the Army has plans to better the readiness of the troops, but there are impediments to achieving those plans. One is simply the stress of the amount of training put on the troops. Another is the state of the infrastructure within the Army.
One of those places, and it's not unique to the Army, where we have taken an aggregate risk that I think a lot of people haven't fully realized yet is in MILCON and facility sustainment. And so we need, it really is becoming, in my view, a fundamental readiness issue for all of the services. As I said earlier, ranges are a part of that. And we need to make sure that we're not mortgaging our future with the decisions we're making now. But all that means is we'd be moving risk to another part of the budget. But we have taken year after year after year of layered risk in facility sustainment, and it concerns me greatly. First visit I made in the Army was to Fort Bragg, and that's a critical, very busy base. And it just, from the minute that I landed, I could tell this base looks tired. And so we have to look into that very seriously.
The House Armed Services Subcommittee on Readiness has been looking into the effects of decaying infrastructure on readiness in a series of hearings. Military base commanders have testified that they are in charge of buildings more than 70 years old that have barely received maintenance. Army Major General Patrick White told the committee the Army has taken risk over the past 10 years in infrastructure. It put its resources into direct readiness, which pushed off risk in facilities. However, that risk is now catching up to the Army in future and direct readiness. From Washington, Scott Massioni, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.
Share this interview with colleagues. Go to FederalNewsRadio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.